The sermon series that we are participating in together is inspired by a book by a young clergyman named Morgan Guyton, and the book is called How Jesus Saves the World from Us, 12 Antidotes to Toxic Christianity. We're calling this series How We Are Christian. I told you that today we're going to explore the question of how we live by truth and what is truth. But as I worked through the sermon and dealt with the scripture for today, I realized that we are really talking about how we live by honor, not fear, and how that leads us to truth. Let's pray before we begin our exploration. God, as we hear your word read and shared, would you open our ears so that we can hear? Free us from distractions around us and within us so that we might really listen. Open our minds. Give us just a glimpse of the divine. And then, God, would you open our hearts, our souls, that we might be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Fear. Have you ever thought about how fear is one of the most powerful motivators? It can be used to get people to believe the way someone wants them to believe, to vote the way someone wants them to vote, or to get people to do or not do something. Fear. And did you know that this concept of fear is even used to talk about God? Think about today's scripture that we just read about three servants and a master. The master told his servants that he was going on a trip, and he entrusted them with a certain amount of money to see what each one of them would do with it. They had no idea how long the master would be away. It turned out he was gone for a long time. And when he got back, the first two servants were excited. They were so eager to report to their master that they had taken risks and had doubled the master's money. But not the third servant. He reported to his master this. Read it with me. "I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and hid your talent in the ground." And you heard the story this morning. The master was very displeased with this servant. You see, the third servant, he was afraid. Fear doesn't typically lead us to a whole lot of creativity, doesn't lead us to risk-taking. And so this third servant, in his fear, he sought out the safest option possible. Now, when we read the scripture story today, it's important for us to remember it's not a real story. It's a parable given by Jesus to help us learn a lesson. And this is a story about God, and it's to help us understand more about our relationship with God. So think about this. If we see God as being a harsh man who scares us, that's not going to inspire a lot of growth and positivity from us. Fear. Fear can lead us to freeze. It can lead us to bury our talents and live the safest life possible so that God will have no reason at all to punish us. Here's the truth of today's parable, today's story. The master wasn't pleased at all with the servant who buried the talents. This parable suggests to us that the best way for us to disappoint and displease God is to seek the safest option, to bury our talents and resources, to close ourselves into our fear, and to not make much of a difference in our lives or in the world around us. I don't know about you, but fear isn't a good motivator. It's not a good learning tool for me. When I was learning to drive, my beloved, well-intentioned parents filled me with images of all the terrible things that could happen if I made any little mistake in my driving. Now, they loved me, and they were trying their best to help me. But when they drove with me, they would constantly give me directions and instructions and corrections and feedback. Learning to drive was not happening for me. Was not fun for any of us. Then one day, my grandmother came to the house to pick up my younger brother and me to take us to her home for the weekend, and it was a very stormy summer day. My little brother got in the back seat, and my grandmother surprised me by getting into the passenger seat. I just stood there, and my grandmother told me to drive. So I commented to her that the weather was bad and I wasn't good at driving. I was sure she had heard that. And my grandmother told me to get in the seat and drive because if we were going anywhere, I had to drive. From the back of the seat, my now police chief little brother kept saying over and over again, "Mom and Dad wouldn't approve of this, Grandma. Mom and Dad would not approve." Then you're never going to believe what my grandma did. She started working a crossword puzzle. So I started driving. She wasn't paying any attention to what I was doing, or so I thought. So I relaxed. And the more I drove in that downpour, the more confidence I gained, even though I had a little brother in the back seat saying, "Mom and Dad wouldn't approve," over and over again. I did fairly well, even on a stormy day. It was a breakthrough for me in learning how to drive. With the fear of making mistakes and over-direction no longer present, I began to risk and learn and even enjoy driving. Can you think of your own experience where fear of criticism or fear of making mistakes zapped your confidence? Kept you from learning and growing and having the kind of joy and impact that you were created for and that you so want to have. Some Christians, they seem to enjoy talking about a scary God whose wrath is directed toward other people's sins so that they can demand that people believe and act the way they believe and act. Asking questions like this: if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? With people's eternal destiny dependent upon having uttered a formula known as the sinner's prayer. This leads to the question, is God scary like that? Demanding our complete compliance to a specific set of rules, our compliance to saying, uttering a specific prayer. Is God punitive? Is God scary? Do we need to be afraid of God? You know, the truth of the matter is that the phrase, the fear of God, does occur over and over and over again throughout the pages of Scripture. Psalm chapter 111, verse 10, tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible, it describes faithful followers of God as people who feared the Lord. And yet John 4:8 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." So, what is this fear of God that we are supposed to have, and how do we reconcile that kind of fear with the knowledge that God is love, and Scripture tells us that there is no fear in love? Morgan Guyton comments that in all the passages of Scripture that he has found, the fear of the Lord hasn't in any verses been connected with being scared of God. Rather than being connected with scariness, the fear of the Lord is associated with positive behavioral attributes such as trustworthiness. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 says this, "But select capable people from all the people, ones who fear God, trustworthy ones," not terrified ones, "trustworthy ones who hate dishonest gain." And fear of the Lord is evidenced as not taking advantage of people with special needs. Leviticus 19:14 says this, "Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God." And fear of the Lord has to do with respecting elders. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, "Stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and fear your God." And fear of God is associated with not manipulating other people. Leviticus 25, verse 17 says, "Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God." Are you getting the context? Are you starting to see here that the words "the fear of the Lord" really mean respect and awe? Guyton's points out that fear of the Lord seems a lot more like honor than terror. People who fear the Lord in this way live with integrity, even when other people aren't watching them, are willing to give up privileges and make sacrifices. People who fear the Lord in this way are willing to take risks and do what they believe is good and right, even if there is a cost to pay. The biblical understanding of fearing the Lord isn't about walking through life in terror of offending God or making God angry or risking God's judgment. Rather, the fear of the Lord is about walking through life trusting that God, the most powerful being in all of the universe, is right with us. Every one of us, every single moment of our living. And frankly, although God always being with us isn't a scary thought, the thought that God is always with us, seeing everything, can be a little intimidating to think about. Psalm 139 illustrates it this way. Read with me. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." You see, to fear the Lord is to recognize that God is everywhere and is always with us, seeing everything, even our very thoughts. But God is not there to punish us or zap us when we get out of line, but is there lovingly with us. And there is nowhere we can go where God is not with us, no matter how deep the dark despair of sin. And there is nothing we can ever do or think or face that God isn't present to see and know and care about. That's a high level of support and a high level of accountability for all of us. Well, on earth, Jesus lived his life in a kind of fear of the Lord, a fear of the Lord that came out of knowing for certain that God was with him. And that fear of the Lord led him to stand up for the oppressed, to take great risks to right social injustices, He led him to raise conflict by insisting on the full inclusion of all people. Fear of the Lord led him to willingly die on the cross and rise again to free us from the powers of sin and death and to show us what it looks like to be in right relationship with God and other people. Beloved in Christ, here is the truth of our faith. Fear of the Lord happens when we realize that the God of the whole universe is with us every single moment, and we allow that truth to fill us with power and inner confidence to take risks and accomplish that which we could never accomplish on our own. We live out this positive fear of the Lord when we stand up to the powers that be and demand inclusion and justice for all, especially the least, the lost, and the left out, even when it is risky and costly. Fear of the Lord comes when we care for creation, not because we are compelled to do so, but because we want to pass on this beautiful gift to future generations and we want to show honor to God, the giver of all gifts. Fear of the Lord happens when we commit our time, talents, gifts, service, and witness to actively share the message of God's love and life, blessing others, making the world a better place for everyone. Friends in Christ, here's the good news, the great news. We don't need to be afraid to go into the unknown. We don't need to be afraid to try new things, to face the painful, scary, intimidating things in life. We don't need to be afraid to stand up for others, to boldly take risks. We don't need to be afraid of failure. But when we go back to today's scripture reading, there does seem to be one thing we would be wise to be afraid of. That like the third servant in today's scripture story, who buried his money, his talents, we won't have the courage to step up when Jesus opens the doors that we are called to walk through, and that we will let God down by not using the gifts and the talents and the resources that God has entrusted to us. Friends in Christ, the message of today's scripture story is that it matters. It really and truly matters what we do in this world. That God wants us to be actively using our gifts and working for good. Not because we're trying to earn our way into heaven, not for fear of some threat of hell or punishment, but because we are in deep awe and honor and respect and love of the God who walks with us. Beloved, may we fear the Lord by cultivating in our souls a desperate longing to live the way Jesus lived, to give ourselves away in love to others and the world. Not because of any fear of punishment, but in response to God's great love for us and the power that God fills us with and the confident power that comes in knowing that we don't walk alone ever, but God walks with us. And then we have no need to walk by fear. But instead, with honor, we will live like Jesus day by day, and we will be bold and strong, and we will be gentle and vulnerable and caring. And the world will be transformed through us. May it be so. Amen.